With me here for my edition of Farmer Friday, I've got Mike Jackson with me. Mike, thanks for being with me on KIIC today.
Hello, thanks for having me.
You bet. So Farmer Friday, we've had a lot of people from around the area. Tell us a little bit about where you're located at first before we get rolling.
So I'm a sixth-generation family farmer in Mahaska County. I live east of Oskaloosa with my wife and three children. We farm kind of east-central Mahaska County, I guess you could say it.
Okay, good deal. And talk a little bit about where your love from agriculture came from. You said a sixth generation, but who helped you in on that?
Well, six generations before me helped me get to this point. Father, grandfather, uncle are the three that kind of helped funnel my love and passion for agriculture into a usable source instead of just being out in the wind, I guess you'd say.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the harvest that just got taken care of, 2023. Talk us through that in terms of how you felt, you know, the bushels per acre, how the crop did in your estimation.
Well, we're still thanking God every day for the blessings that he gave us. Best corn crop we've ever had. And being 10 to 12 inches short on moisture, and then still a phenomenal soybean crop, too.
Yeah, it is amazing. That's what we've been hearing, the mantra from other people, how fortunate we are to have received that. And, of course, you got to thank the genetics that are put into those seeds to make it come to fruition with just a short amount of rain.
Yes. 10 years ago, 2012, I remember harvesting corn in the drought then, and it was half the bushels that we harvested this past year. So it's just the, like you said earlier, technology has gone leaps and bounds, and our hybrids have been able to follow using that same technological advancements.
We're not totally out of the woods yet in terms of being winter time, but other than what we had for Snowmageddon in January, we haven't had a whole lot of moisture either, and that's got to be a concern looking ahead to 2024.
Yes, but I will say this. My cover crops sitting here in my pickup in the driveway looking at the field north of my house is bright and green and lush. The cereal rye grew more in February than it did the last half of October and all of November, though.
And how many acres of that cover crop do you have going?
We've got 800-900 acres going into corn, and then 9,000 acres going into soybeans next year with cereal rye growing on it.
So talk us through that cereal rye. You're going to use it or are going to plow it up? What's that going to happen?
So we are what's considered 100% no-till, so plow would be a dirty word to me. I'd say that with a good sense of humor, though. So before the corn planter, the bean planter goes to the field. Well, before the corn, I'll just start with the corn planter. Before it goes to the field, I'll go out with the sprayer, and I'll chemically terminate the cover crop. And I'll put a little bit of fertilizer down with it, and then we'll come in with the corn planter, and we'll put a little bit more fertilizer with the seed. And then with the soybean planter, we'll get out there, we'll get the soybeans planted, and sometime in the following week to 4 weeks, we'll go out with the sprayer, and there again, we'll chemically terminate it and put a little bit of fertilizer to help break down as the soybeans are starting to emerge.
So the true process of having this cover crop is to just maintain so there's no wind erosion is what I'm guessing. Talk us through that.
So we're trying to keep wind and water erosion at bay on our farm. We're also building soil organic. We're changing the soil into more of a usable aggregate. So stick a spade into my soil and flip it over and look at it. I want to see essentially black cottage cheese, if you will, or coffee grounds, where the soil just rolls off the end of that shovel. Whereas you go over to a neighbor that does a full tillage, chiseling in the fall, field cultivating in the spring, you stick the spade in the ground and it flips over and you might have a little bit roll off, but you're going to have a slab of dirt sitting there.
And it helps also with the earthworms as well. You'll be able to go out fishing, no problem.
We'll be able to go find the bait to go fishing, correct. the fish worms come up to chew on the sugars on those root systems, which is bringing a whole other set of bacteria and making essentially tunnels in our soil, which allows the water to go down and allows the water to permeate the soil after we have a heavy rain. And then it also allows a little bit of air down in the soil, so it's a living, breathing organism underneath our feet, and that's what we're going for.
And that's an important part as well, understanding the texture of your soil. Talk about a little bit about that. High clay, silt, what are you looking at over there in your part of the woods?
We have the whole silt loam mass container all the way to the clay base. I got fields that my kids absolutely despise, because when we say, hey, Dad's got a job for you to do with the gators, to go out and pick up rock. So they're not overly thrilled by that job, but at least they get to drive the gator doing it.
I remember that job as well back in the day. Picking up rock is essential to keep the equipment from getting busted up. Speaking of equipment, what about over the winter time? Did you work on anything in the shop to get prepared for this coming planting season?
Yeah, we're always working on something. The whole adage that idle hands is the devil's playground. So actually this winter my dad pulled my uncle's 40/20 into the shop and gone through, and we're to the point of pulling it back out and started using it again. The next one, just before you called, I was getting things in line to hook the tractor to the corn planter so we can go through and do a quick inspection on it. We did some technology updates on the sprayer to where we're getting it to where it shuts off row or nozzle body by nozzle body. So imagine a 120-foot machine rolling across the field, nozzle body every 15 inches, so there's 96 nozzle bodies. So when I come up to a waterway, it'll shut every 15 inches, it'll shut those nozzle bodies off. Number one, it helps save product. Number two, I'm not overusing, over-applying, so we got clean, safe drinking water in the end.
And that's a big factor as well. Go ahead and talk a little bit about conservation practices that you have there on the farm. Waterways, buffer strips, talk about those.
Yeah, so we got several terraces, several grass waterways, edge of practices, where we got just a standing grome style grass where you're allowing the water to permeate into that at the edge of a field heading down the hill. So if for whatever reason we do get a nick or a scar in the hillside, a cut, if you will, we can help grab that soil and then we can put it back where it belongs and then help the ground heal with cover crops. As I mentioned earlier, we're 100% no-till. So we start in the fall when we harvest the crop, and then we come in with a grain drill to plant the cereal rye, and then the next step would be the sprayer and then the corn planter.
Obviously, you're going to be saving a lot of fuel that way, a lot less passes across that. That's got to make you feel good. We're talking with Mike Jackson. He's a farmer out of Mahaska County for an edition of Farmer Friday. Mike, what about tiling practices? Anything going on there in your place there about tile this year?
Yeah, Dad and I built 8 terraces over the winter time, starting since last fall when we got done harvesting all the way until a week or so ago. Got Irv DeBryan come in with a tile machine. We put some tile in, kind of did a little bit of a pattern, a little bit of there's a wet spot up on that hill, and a little bit of we want to put a terrace at the top of that waterway so we can help kind of alleviate the waterway and grab the water and put it underground. More erosion control, the better. I know we're going into another drought, but one of these days it's going to start raining and it won't stop. So,
yes, that's a good point. What about soil testing? Do you do that yearly, every 4 years? What type of rotation do you have for soil testing there?
Yep, so we're in a 4-year cycle. We break our ground up, so we get even chunks every 4 years. We do a little bit more. We do a 3.3-acre grid, I believe it is. Kind of the most economical. You can go all the way down to acre by acre grid, or you can go all the way up to 3 samples out of a field. But we're working on making every inch of soil on our property the same from one end of the field to the other, whether it's level flat and you can see all four corners, or whether you're standing the center of the field and you can't see any of the fence posts because of the hill. But we're working on trying to get every acre alike so then we can help reduce the bad spots in the field, the sour spots, if you will. You talked about earlier clay, so we got to build the organic material up, which will allow it to hold more water and more nutrients, so then it doesn't run off into the drinking water that my rural neighbors are drinking from.
Good point as well. I'm talking with Mike Jackson for my edition of Farmer Friday this week. Mike, talk about your selection of corn varieties. What are some of the things that you think about as you select those seeds? And of course, I'm sure that you have more than one variety that's out there. Talk about that.
Yep. I guess I could put a plug in for the seed company I sell for, Latham High-Tech Seeds. We use a lot of VT doubles, so we're not having to worry about the above and below ground issues of corn rootworm like my corn-on-corn farming friends would. But we kind of go through a selection process of the hybrid would have what would be considered a flex year or a determinate year. So that's counting the number of times the kernel's around and the kernel's deep on the ear. So we try to put a lot of flex year varieties out there, and then high disease tolerance, high drought tolerance. There again, going into another dry year. And then we're also looking at our chemical program that we're going to be putting on that crop, because we are trying to reduce trips across the field to make viable food source for the world to use.
You wear many hats, as most farmers do, in terms of figuring out the weather, figuring out the market, figuring out just farmer stuff and mechanical items as well. But you also wore a hat of the past president there for Farm Bureau. Talk us through that.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed going to Des Moines and talking with our legislators, and as well as going to D.C. and talking with them up there about what we need to see is for different farm bills or practices or laws put into effect, or laws that don't need to be in effect. That, and then it's community service. So with Mahaska County Farm Bureau, there's a fifth grade class in Oskaloosa that knows me as Farmer Mike that comes and visits me on my farm once a month via an iPad with Karen Adams. And we can take them into last fall we took them into the tractor when we were out drilling cover crops, and they had the chance for 20 minutes to ask questions, see all the technology at my fingertips, all the way to the last one we had was walked them into one of our hog buildings, and they could see the feeder pigs going over to the cereal boxes, they call it, the feeder, to get their lunch for the day.
I like that, the cereal box. That's pretty cool. I'm talking with Mike Jackson from my edition of Farmer Friday. He's a Mahaska County farmer over there east of Oskaloosa. Real quick, Mike, talk about those animals that you take care of. Kind of a unique situation.
Yep. So one of my, I guess you could start it off by 20 years ago. Here come June, we put the first SEW hog building up. And that was my ticket back to the farm after I graduated from college. Young farm kid wanting to be back, but the farm wasn't exactly big enough for another family to be at the table to eat, so I had to work with these buildings to get those put up to get started, and that blossomed into doing the cover crops and a little bit of the biodiversity, because we use that hog manure to back out onto our soil. We've had the opportunity to work with another young gentleman here in Mahaska County that does the day-to-day chores for us. All these pigs are owned by JBS, so then it's I'm essentially a landlord for that right now.
But that helps out in terms of the cash flow, and that makes all things go. That's great to hear. Mike Jackson? He's my edition of Farmer Friday, and of course, to my listeners, you can catch this Farmer Friday through our website, KIICradio.com, and check out the audio vault, and you can listen to this podcast all over again if you'd like. Mike, thank you so much for being with me here on KIIC.
Great chatting with you today.